Thank you, Fred. And to think that that piece of American folklore was nearly lost. But thanks to Fred, I don't think it will be. Pastor John, do you have that handheld mic? Well, it's Christmas. Anybody didn't know that? Hasn't been paying attention, right? I want to hear a few of you express what you're excited about at Christmas time. What are you glad about this Christmas morning? Christmas doesn't come on Sunday very often. I still haven't calculated out or understood exactly how often that happens, but it's not as simple as you might think, I guess. Well, there's one observation there, huh?
Yeah.
It doesn't happen very often, but this morning, it's Sunday morning, and it is Christmas. And maybe there's something that you'd like to share that you're really excited about Christmas today. And we'll take time for a few. Who'd like to have something to say? This is your big opportunity. What did you get? I mean, did you get something? You want to share something? No? Samaj. What are you thinking about for Christmas here?
Sharing with your family.
Sharing
Christmas with your family. Now, isn't that awesome? Yeah. Everybody in the world doesn't get to do that, right? That's wonderful. Did somebody get something special for Christmas? Okay, I see a hand waving back there. I ain't coming near you, Kevin Way. Yes.
Oh, I got a new camera.
You got a camera. Wonderful. Isn't that awesome? Sweet. You'll be taking a picture of everybody, right? Yeah. Yes.
I'm just very grateful that I'm a part of this church family and my blood family.
Isn't that wonderful? Yes, we're grateful. Did somebody have their hand up right here? Yeah, yeah.
Growing up as a kid, you know, you get socks and underwear for Christmas. I don't know if any of you. Well, I got socks. And it was the best gift I have gotten in a long time. My kids are stealing my socks all the time, so I'm always looking for socks. And to get socks, it's really, I guess it's, that's how you know you're getting old, when you're excited about.
Yeah, yeah.
What you didn't used to be excited about. But I'm also just happy that, not that it's. This is an everyday praise, that God just hasn't chosen to blow me up in spite of myself. I'm really very thankful for that.
Well, thank you, Dave. I'm sure some of the rest of us feel the same way about ourselves. There's a family in the back row here that is all together for Christmas. I'm not putting anybody on the spot here, but I just couldn't help but notice, you know, one come from Argentina, one come from Florida, and Mom and Dad are right here, and they're all sitting here together. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. Who else had their hand up about something special about Christmas? Did you get something or what?
I got a tablet.
A tablet? I got some tablets in my medicine chest at home, too. I'm feeling...
Electronic device.
It's what?
It's an electronic device.
It's an electronic device. I should have known that.
I've been talking a lot about how I want to give to missions more, and my wife took that and she got me this really cool penny bank of the world so that I can put all my spare change in it to support missionaries and give it to the missions field. So I was very excited about that.
Wow. That's a gift that will be thought about all year. Wonderful. Somebody else want to share something about what they're thinking about Christmas?
I'd like to thank the Lord that Sally got home for Christmas Eve. And also, we got a phone call this week from an ex-pastor of ours, John McCarron. And he wanted to be remembered to everybody here at the church that might remember him some 50 years ago.
Thanks, Gene, for sharing that. Pastor John McCarron was back pastor here back in the 60s. And actually, he married Wendy and me 42 years, 5 months, 7 days ago. Something like that. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. Yep. Somebody else want to share something that they're thankful for about Christmas?
One thing I love about the Christmas season, when Angie and I go into the nursing homes, we're not allowed to sing too much gospel, but we saved the last 15, 20 minutes of that rather than the whole hour. So we give them the best quality of the golden oldies from the 1800s to the 40s and 50s. But when it comes Christmas, they get the full barrel of the Lord, and they go back to their rooms with Jesus. And we make sure of that.
Thank you, Pat. Somebody else have their hand up over here? Were you thinking about something that you wanted to share about Christmas?
Being together.
Yes, wonderful. Being together. Yes.
I'm thankful to be able to worship the Lord this morning. I'm also thankful that Alan's mom was able to spend the morning with us. I don't think that's ever happened since we've moved out this way, so it was a very special morning for us. And, of course, you all know I'm very thankful for the special blessing that this time next week I'll be holding in my arms. We're going to go visit our grandson in Hawaii.
Yes, and it's too bad you have to go all the way to Hawaii to do that. Let's see, we started with Samaj, and here he is again.
Giving.
Giving. You could really unpack that quite a bit, right? It's about giving. Because God gave Jesus to us, we can give to other people, right? Excellent.
When I was looking for some quotes for some Christmas cards, I came across one that has really stuck with me. I wrote it down so I'd get it right. You cannot fully appreciate Christmas until you can look into the Heavenly Father's face and tell him that you have received his gift. And I'm so glad I can look in his face and say, I received your gift many, many years ago, and it's still just as precious now as it was then.
And God's people said, amen. Amen.
I'm just so thankful for that no matter what's going on in your life, you know, family situations change, the dynamics change, but you get up Christmas morning and there's just that hope. And I'm just so thankful this week that I happened to hear on the radio that I don't know if it was one of the speakers on 105.9, but just saying that what it comes down to is Christmas is about worship, and I needed to hear that. And this morning, just so thankful that no matter what's going on, that I have Christ, I have hope, and it's just so awesome. That's great.
Thank you. Anyone else? Well, thanks for sharing. I'm really excited that we're all together here, that you came. That in the busyness of our lives, every week, every day, but particularly at Christmas time, we get busy, and it's wonderful to be together and to be with family and to just eat and travel and give gifts and receive gifts, and it is awesome. It's a wonderful time of year. But maybe it would have been easy not to come and not to be together, because it's Christmas and we usually have a fruitcake over here and we have ice cream over here and we open presents over here and we have a certain food and we do this and we got the tree and we got presents. And maybe we wouldn't have. Maybe it would be easier not to just come together and, you know, think about the reason for the season, and to come together and to sing and to share and to read scripture and to just be reminded about the true meaning of Christmas. And we've been talking about Christmas, about the peace of Christmas last Sunday. That, you know, before you receive that true gift of Christmas, there's no peace between you and God. And, you know, depending on your own experience and your own walk, you know, some came to Jesus when they were young, and they didn't experience that great separation between themselves and God. Other people who lived a little longer maybe were rejecting the gospel or rejecting the free gift of salvation, know the experience of no peace, being separated from God. But when we come to Jesus, we know peace. We have peace. And the longer we walk with Jesus, we spread peace. And last evening it was the same with Christmas being about light. You know, Christmas lights all over the place. You know, the star was light that directed the men to where Jesus lay. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And it's amazing. It's not complicated. Everyone must come to the light. It's the only way. And then Jesus said that you are the light. If you've received the gift, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they would glorify our Heavenly Father. But this morning, for just a few minutes, I'd like for us to think about the hope of Christmas. And one lady shared about the hope that she has. And it's the hope that we all have because of Christmas. I don't know if you've experienced situations in your life where you felt or you thought or you were convinced that there was no hope, that the circumstances that surrounded you were hopeless, that the situation that maybe somebody else created was hopeless. The greatest Christmas present that we all as followers of Christ received puts us in a place where we do have hope. Hope is the anticipation of a future outcome. I know anticipation is a big word this time of year, and I suppose for most of us that anticipation of Christmas or morning has come and been realized. Maybe for a few, you're still anticipating something further on Christmas Day. But hope is about what's coming. What's going to happen, whether it's this afternoon, next week, next year. And hope is a subjective expectation, which may be either firmly based or misdirected. If people hope in the wrong thing or the wrong people or the wrong person, then that hope would be misdirected. In Scripture, hope is a confident expectation for future, describing both the act of hoping and the object of hoping as well. When one's hope is in God, hope provides the motivation to live the Christian life. We've all observed people perhaps who were Christians, believers, but not much motivated to live the Christian life. Wanted to do things our own way. But hope is the motivation that provides what we need to live the Christian life. I'd like for us to look at just four or five passages of Scripture as we think about the hope of Christmas. And some of these will seem a little bit unusual for a Christmas message, but I don't think I could bring a Christmas message without going somewhere in Ephesians. So let's go in the middle of Ephesians, right at the halfway point, to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. If you have your Bible with you, and I hope you do, I have hope that you do. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, in the first three chapters, Paul has laid out the theological foundation for being a Christian, about trusting in God. In chapter 4, he begins a practical aspect of the Christian life, and verse 1 is kind of like a hinge between the first three chapters and the last three chapters. Verse 1 says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." You see, if we have, as Pat shared here a few minutes ago, received the greatest gift, received the gift of Christmas, received Jesus into our hearts, it's because of a calling. It's because you are called. You heard the call, the gospel message, and you transferred your trust from trusting in yourself to trusting in what Jesus has already done. And you answered the call. So Paul says, because of this, I'm urging you, I'm begging with you, I'm pleading with you to live a life that's worthy of being called a Christian. Then he goes on and describes how to do that. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And if you were paying attention, you noticed that I skipped over a little phrase in the middle of verse 4. But it's in this particular translation, it's marked off by a couple of little dash marks. It's kind of like a parenthetical statement. In the middle of Paul's description about the unity of the Spirit, he says there is one body, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. See, just as, that little phrase in the middle, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. See, part of the experience of becoming a Christian is being called into this one hope, this hope that we have. And we know that in Scripture, hope is not the I hope so that people usually talk about, especially at Christmas when we say, I hope I get this, or I hope I don't get a lump of coal in my stocking. Right? No, never mind. Hope. Paul wants us to understand the hope that is ours because we've been called as a Christian. Some callings offer no hope, but the calling that we have in Christ assures us of a delightful future, a blessed future, a wonderful future. As Peter said in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, though for a time you may have to suffer various kinds of trials. You know, some people proclaim a gospel message that says if you come to Jesus, you'll have no more problems. And we know that from Scripture and our own experience that that's not true. Life is hard. Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse 33, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. We need to keep in mind that the word hope in the Bible does not mean I hope so. The word hope carries with it the assurance for the future. Now, I've never really thought of Romans 8:28 as a big Christmas verse. Most of us know Romans 8:28 says that, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You know, what that verse teaches us that everything, all things, all the circumstances of life, all the things going on around about us work together for good for those who love him. Okay? See, that's a great Christmas verse because there's hope in that, that whatever the circumstances we're in right now, whatever the trouble, whatever the difficulty or hardship, that we have an assurance that all these things are going to work out for our good. And the next verse in Romans 8 describes that good as being you and me becoming more like Jesus. That's what's happening to us. The more I look at you folks, you know, hey, boy, he's looking more like Jesus. She's looking more like Jesus as the years and the months and the weeks go by. Because we're growing up in Christ. So, if Christmas is about hope, it's about the future, whether it be this afternoon, tomorrow, next week, or next year. But there was a time when we were without hope. When we were lost, when we were without hope. Turn back just a couple of pages to Ephesians chapter 2. And just three verses or so here, 11, 12, and 13. Ephesians 2, 11. Therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the flesh, in the body, by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. You see, there is hope now. But before, we were without hope. So, you know, if you've been hanging out in church for a long time and you're still without hope, you need to question whether or not you have actually been saved, you've been converted, you've been born again. Because once we were far away, earlier in chapter 2, it says dead in our sins, but now we have hope because we've been brought near. So a person who says, I'm a Christian and doesn't have hope, either doesn't understand what they've been given or haven't received the gift themselves. Okay. So the believer's hope, of course, is the return of Jesus Christ. He is coming again. He came as a baby in the cradle, but he's coming as king. He is king of our lives now. He's coming on earth to reign again. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Again, another verse that we we probably don't think of as a Christmas passage. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. See the hope in this passage as we look at it. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we are who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. If Jesus came back this afternoon, let's see, could he come back this morning? Yeah, he still could come back this morning. But if he come back this afternoon, it's going to be like, you've seen it. I saw it on YouTube a few weeks ago again. I think Gary Osgood posted it. You know, the speaker was up there telling about Jesus coming back again, and boom, the guy was gone, and there are only six people left out of 200 or something like that. Okay, if Jesus came back this afternoon, that's what it's going to be like. Those who belong to him are gone to heaven. Those without hope will be left behind. That's what it's going to be like. But if we have put our faith in Jesus Christ, we have the hope that we are going. Amen. The believer's hope is in the return of Jesus Christ. If this isn't the gospel truth, we're all without hope. But in Jesus Christ, we have a living hope, a hope that is alive just as he is alive. And that encourages us day by day. In case you're counting, our next to the last passage is 1 Peter chapter 3. We've been in here a bit lately over the past few weeks, just before the Christmas season. 1 Peter chapter 1. Did I say something different? Yeah. Well, see? I repent. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter 1, 3. Here's this outburst of praise again. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We could go on. There's more to it. We'd have to go all the way through verse 5. But what we want to see here for this moment is that we have been given, because of God's mercy, new birth into a living hope. See, that's what sets it apart from the I hope so of the world. We have a hope that is alive and encourages us day by day. Hope in the Bible, in God's word, is an established certainty because it comes from the promises of God. We sing that song, Standing on the Promises. Well, we are. We're all standing. Our hope is firmly established in the promises that God has made to us. I mean, we could go through a whole long thing that would take us till about 4 o'clock to go through just a few of the promises that God has made to us. Promises, I never leave you or forsake you. So when God seems far away, who moved? Me. Promises like, I'm going to prepare a place for you. promises like we've been given all we need for life and godliness. We have a living hope established on the promises of God. All right, one last passage here in Titus. Titus chapter 1. Just these first three verses, as Paul writes to Titus and identifies himself, chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul, and a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time, and at his appointed season, he brought his word to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God our Savior. See, it's all in perfect timing. In God's perfect timing, he let the light shine. Before Jesus was born, they knew the Messiah was coming. All of the prophecies and predictions about his coming have been fulfilled, even to the moment of his birth. They knew he was coming, but until he came, that light hadn't fully been revealed, all that had been promised. But it was in God's perfect timing that he has given us faith and knowledge that rest on the hope of eternal life, the certainty that we who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are going to live forever. Christmas doesn't get any better than that. All of the stuff that's wrapped up, all of the stuff that's cooked in the oven and everywhere else that's cooked or uncooked, all of the, it's going to go, it's going to disappear. The greatest toy, the greatest technological things that we can hold in our hands are all going to melt and disappear. But the promise of God that we'll be with him forever is the greatest Christmas gift. So often the circumstances of life tend to draw us away from living in the hope that we have. The trials and tribulations that we face can erode our confidence that everything will turn out all right, better than all right. If we're not walking closely with God, we can be beaten up by the circumstances of life to the point where hope seems to dim. The hope hasn't changed. It's our perspective that changes when life gets hard. That's why it's so important to stay connected to the Lord privately, just you and the Lord, in a small group, and in a gathering of the church. So important. We all know Christians who are kind of like on the fringes, and they come alongside for a little while, but things get hard or something looks good over there or whatever, and they just drift away. And pretty soon they're in deep trouble. One of the things that I want to do better at this coming year is to be more aware of people who are on the edge, people who need that kind of help to be drawn back in. In other words, hope needs to be fed. You know, for the believer, every day is Christmas. I mean, it's a cliche. We say that every year at Christmas time. And we say every day is Easter, you know, at Easter time, but it really is every day of our lives. We need to recognize what Christmas is really all about, the true gift of Christmas, the hope that we have because of the promises of God. When we think about Christmas trees, you know, there's another tree. There's another tree. And that tree is the cross. it was barren, but Jesus Christ put himself on that tree for you and me. He became wretched so that we might become righteous. He became as filth that we might be free. He came down so that we could go up. Our lives were as barren as that tree, but he decorated us with the gift of his salvation. The gift. By rising from the dead and entering our lives, Jesus gave us wonderful gifts. Gifts like peace, gifts like light, gifts like hope, gifts like comfort and encouragement, gifts like the church, gifts like a future, an eternal destiny. And all we have to do is be like little children. Here I am. I can do nothing for myself. And I recognize what you did for me, and I receive that gift. It's a mystery, but it's true. It's priceless, and it's forever. He is risen, he is Lord, and he is coming back. Christians celebrate Christmas every day. Thank him that each day is a fresh start. His mercies are renewed every day, every morning. His compassions never fail. Rejoice that you serve a God of the second and third and fourth chances. Rejoice that the Christ in the cradle was the Christ on the cross and is the Christ who wears the crown. And because he has given us great and precious promises, we have hope. Hope for today, hope for tomorrow, and hope for a bright future. I found this little poem here. I'd like to share it with you. My Christmas wish. I've wished a very special wish for you this Christmastide. It reaches far beyond today. 'Tis high and deep and wide. I wish for you the angel's song that tells of hope and love. I wish the radiance of the star to guide your thoughts above. I wish for you the sturdy faith that led the wise men three or more through cold of night or desert drear the holy child to see. I wish for you a humble heart with purpose strong and true, the blessing of the Christ our Lord. This is my wish for you. Let's not forget that Christmas is not only about peace. It's not only about light, but it's also about hope. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much.